bandele bradia. Ebayando sombra liga da de shakata. Ligobo shabarade kerebadagosa. Rekotobosha tabayata. Rebedebedebedebosh. Manda gala braga da gada dosa. Imbada bondo bodoko sombra diga baya. Emanandom brondo sombra diada. Egobosha tabraga teke teke te. Me baba baba yata satayata. Elaborocotonomo soto boyade. Iando subradia. Rakatosha. Rabado Sibada, Rikabayando Shande, Malekebo Shatabrande, Mando Kobrande, Kestobradia, Amash Kalabade, Rabado Shande, Brando Konde, Rebadada Bada, Moshatabahasata. All glory to God. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's appreciate our Papa and Mama, Doctors Abel and Rachel Damina. Hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate Pastor Praise, Reverend Philemon, Apostle Prince. Amen. Glory to God. Please, you may be seated. Amen. Gifts and calling. We are on to ministry gifts as functions in the local church. That's the subtopic of what we're having under gifts and calling. Ministry gifts as functions in the local church. The subtopic should give to us an idea, already an overall idea of what ministry gift is. That they are not just offices, they are functions. For some of us, it is coming new to us. For some of us, we already are aware of it because Papa has taught us. And it will help you align your mind, yourself, and know how to function in the call of God. It's under this subtopic you begin to understand why it is out of place to say that God has called me to preach this or to preach that. You begin to see how that title is irrelevant. It is the function. The function. Function has to do with responsibility. Is the functions, it's not the title. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We say that the local church plays a vital role in fulfilling God's plan and purpose for our lives. Is that correct? And we say that God has saved us into a relationship. Amen. Praise God. We said Paul in his epistle to the church in Colossae expounded Moses' teaching in Genesis 1. I think we said that. Praise God. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We'll take it up from there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We're reading like a mass choir. That's the way I want us to read in my class. Everybody reads. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Amen. Blessed is he that readeth, and he that also what? That heareth the words of this prophecy. Amen. Praise God. So somebody reads, you hear, you are blessed. But when you read and you hear yourself, that's double. Is it not so? Double unction, double blessing. Amen. Praise God. Are you in Colossians 1:15? Let's go, everybody. Who is the image of God? But if you want to know who is the image of God, you read from verse 14. All right? We know that. So let's read from verse 15. Let's go now. Want to go. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? So that who has been given a designation, the firstborn. So as you follow the narrative, it will be clear for you to know who is talking about, even without the pretext of verse 14. Let's go, everybody. Let's go forward. Yes. Firstborn every creature. Verse 16. Next verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Next verse, verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him are all things consist. And he is, the next verse now, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Praise God. So if you look at the concept we are looking at right now of the local church. We are looking at a concept of the local church. Praise God. We are looking at the concept of the local church. But there is something that the Colossians said that comes in handy in the discourse. In Colossians, we saw he said he is the head of the body. He now said the church. Now, it makes you understand that upon the resurrection of Jesus, that the church was birthed, and the church is an orchestration of God. Now, I want you to pay attention. Don't join the world in saying that church is a scam. Christianity, organized religion, is a scam, but not church. Because church is an orchestration of the Holy Ghost. Organized religion, quoted as Christianity, from what we see men function in, is a scam. We see scam in it. Is that correct? But the church is a byproduct of Jesus' resurrection. If it is a scam, that means the resurrection is a scam. And the resurrection gave back to the church. And the Bible talks about the church that was in the wilderness. Is that correct? So Christianity had a time that it started in the book of Acts, right? That's why God is not a Christian. Jesus is not a Christian. We are not the people who started church. There were churches before Jesus said, I will build my church. Is that correct? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said he was with them that even in the church that was in the wilderness, that means there was a church, a gathering. We'll get to church, which you already know. Church is a gathering of faithfuls, those who believe. They have a belief system. Their gathering together is church. There is the church of Manchester, a church of Arsenal. Fans, when they gather, they have a belief system. They support a common goal, church. The Senate that represents people from different constituencies are church. They speak on behalf of their constituency, so they are church. The Senate sitting is a church. That is the concept by which Jesus taught, I will build my own gatherings of faithfuls, called out ones for myself, my own church. There is their church. I will build my own church upon my resurrection. Are we on the same page here? The church, that's the reason why. Why did Paul had an issue? He had an issue with Jesus, and he had to be accosted because Paul was after the church. Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Who art thy Lord? So that means the people he's persecuting is Christ. Christ and the church is one and the same. So when you hear church, respect the church. Not as a building. We will come to the building. Respect the church as a body. That means respect our meetings when we call for a meeting as church. Because you have to understand the concept of the local assembly. Sometimes you don't feel like, but you honor the gathering. There are times you wake up, you don't feel like going to church, don't feel like you just want to just relax. But because you are also going to be part of those that will be a blessing by your presence in the assembly, you drag yourself to that gathering because you know what church means. It's a spiritual house. It's a body, and you have made up your mind to honor it with your presence. Because you have something to add to the meeting and to the gathering. So it's not how I feel. It is what God has empowered me also to offer in the midst of the fellowship. When ye come together, every one of you had what? A doctrine, tongue, interpretation, psalm, and hymn. So when we gather, these things are supposed to happen. And I cannot keep myself away from that gathering because I have something to contribute for the edification of the saints. How many of you know that just your presence in church alone, in a gathering alone, somebody just sees you, oh, he's in church today, oh, praise God. He walks around and just greets you. He's happy that you came. You don't know. You didn't say anything, no. You were just in the service. Oh, he's around. Oh, praise God. Oh, amen. Hey, glory. In their heart, your presence alone is an edification. And probably you were having a bad time throughout that week. And you came with your bad time self and came to the meeting. And in your bad time state, you are edifying. That shows you have value for what Jesus died and rose for, the gathering. The local house, the local assembly. Anybody that treats the gathering with disdain, anyhow, mark the person. They don't honor the gathering. He come when he feels like, yet he wants to marry you. I've come again. I've come again. Amen. Open your eyes and watch. It doesn't honor the gathering. Now you come 2024 Bible school. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone that disdains the very essence of what God put everything together to achieve is somebody I should fear. That means the person is daring God's assignment and program upon the earth. Once you are against the spiritual house called church, I step back and that's how I look at you. The church is the gathering. That's what Jesus died for. That was the plan from the beginning when he said the seed of the woman. And God did not rush the project. He allowed the project to follow the course of time patiently until the church was birthed. That's why he became a man. I shouldn't be playing with such a thing because it's dear to the heart of the Father. So when next you feel one kind, drag yourself still to the gathering. Because you know what it means. You are having a bad day. You had a heated argument. Still get to the gathering. Have you come to church before? And the moment you were there, in the midst of your bad situation, someone says, excuse me, I came for counseling. By the time you start counseling, the Spirit of God in you cancels and they are edified and you are edified. And you are edified. You have done ministry. If you are away, you would have still have that bad self experience. And the person would have missed being edified. And God's purpose and plan within that period for both of you would have been lost. Satan would have gained the advantage. But you have value for the gathering. You came. And as you were speaking, utterance took over you. As you were speaking, the capabilities of the Spirit began to flow. The person was edified, and you also were edified. And you went home rejoicing. God has used you to do ministry because you value the gathering. Hallelujah. So he is the head of the body. Even the church, praise God. I said, praise God. So what is the church? The church in the Greek is called ecclesia. Ecclesia talk about a gathering of senate, originally by the Roman ecclesia. Ecclesia. So Jesus said, I too will build my own ecclesia, called out once. Politically, they were called out from different regions and constituencies to sit together and deliberate about the good of where they came from. So they represent the people. So that gathering represents the entire region or the entire region, nation or colony. They are called out from amongst the people, the populace. So church means those who are called out. Two words, the word ek and the word kaleo. Kaleo is to call. Ek means from. To call from. Amen. To take out from. Ek. So putting it together, ecclesia, that means what? The called out ones. So the day I believe the gospel, that day God called me out of the world, into his family, unto himself, I'm a called out one. That means I am different from the rest. I am different from the rest. Are you still there? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we see that in the scriptures, in looking at the call of God, I say ek means out of or out from. Why kaleo means to call. Amen. Kaleo means to call. Praise God. If you are there, say, I'm there. If you are not there, say, wait for me. Praise God. Want to go, everybody? Are we there now? Yes. Want to go? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. The gate of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. I will build what? My church. And as a result, the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is the local house. The church is the local house. The church, it's God's design. The church is God's design and not man. The church is God's design and not man. And I want to stop here to give us application. If somebody comes from somewhere and he walks into Power City or your ministry where you are, and in interacting with him, he said, I was suspended in my church and I was innocent of what happened. The natural thing for you to do is not to absolve him. After you have heard the story, for him right now is a test of his own obedience to the spiritual house called the church, not his grievance towards his fracas with the authorities. You will tell him, since the church has slammed you suspension, how long is the suspension? He said, I don't know. But did you serve the suspension before you left? He said, no. Go and serve it. Go and serve it humbly. When the suspension is over and it is lifted, while he's serving it, you are encouraging, you are discipling, you are feeding him with the word, you are a source of edification. Church, don't play with George. Paul was away, he said, I am present with my spirit. First Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we slammed him with suspension. That guy that took his father's wife already. New Testament, that's it, is the law. That was New Testament by the Spirit. Is it not the call of God? You will see how suspension is Bible doctrine, New Testament. That's the grace he has done it on. He has covered it on. Who will suspend you on and perfect it in Christ. Tell him to go serve it, because as you are instructing him, you are setting him up for the man that God will use tomorrow. His training under you has begun. Whatever brought him to Power City means he believes and he wants to see the doctrine. Let me say something. In Admen, a pastor had an issue and the leadership asked that, what should he do? He said, this and this happened. He owns a church. So what will happen? I say, suspend him immediately. He said, I say, go to his church on a Sunday. Go there on a Sunday. Because, pay attention, everybody, and they are listening to me all over the world. The gospel that is preached is a gospel that Paul was persecuted for, died for. Jesus died for. The apostles died for. And they said that it's a gospel that makes the world to turn upside down in the negative sense, according to them. And spaceships can be casted on the message. Already, it gives license to sin. True or false, that's what they say. You are not playing to answer their thoughts. But at the same time, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy to cast aspersion on the mandate and on the message. Very important. And he is a son of Dr. Abel Damina. And this has happened. So in the setting of Admen, what is the authority? And what does authority do to such a situation? Suspicion. I don't want to tell you what the matter is, but it's a disaster. And mouths are already wagging at Christ, at the message, at Dr. Abel Damina, an aspersion even on the scriptures. And there is a public knowledge in the world, and the world is waiting to see whether this mandate, that is what it allows. I say, suspend him. I gave him the modalities. He went to the church on the Sunday. I told Papa before I asked him to do it. He walked in there and said, Pastor, come here. He said, I've been sent. He's going through suspension today. He took the microphone and he announced their pastor's suspension. He said, Pastor, I'll not be preaching from today because our father has asked he should be suspended because of the issues all of you are aware of. Everybody was quiet. Then he now said, he will be sitting here and I will take responsibilities for him. And I will come to the church to preach severally and I will get pastors who are papa sons to come and preach and be a blessing to you people. After it, the leaders came and met him and said, wow, we didn't know that that is the way it should be done. And they head in town. Oh, so this is how the gospel should handle a man of God who is in this proportion. And was quietness, and everybody stayed put. Who suspended him? The church suspended him. He submitted to suspension, came out of suspension. And when he came back to pastor the church, he was received as a man who they saw obey authority of the church, authority higher than him. Now they too can obey him. Don't play with the church. The blood of Jesus has covered it all. It's the same blood that gave birth to the church. And that's it's in that doctrine of the same blood that covered everything that said you should be covered with suspension. Praise God. So ask him to go and serve suspension. Help him go through it. When he's done, he will now thank the authority and let them know how they have been a blessing. And that he has taken the suspension with a good heart. That's why I served it. And whatever issue it has caused in the assembly, I'm so sorry. But you have taught me how somebody should be taught, because this is correction. This is love. And I accept, and I will ever remain grateful that I was meant to see that the body frowns at such things. I'm not here to claim right. I'm not here to say I'm right, but I'm happy, sir. But right now, I want to take my leave and move on next to what God has for me, so that I'll not be able to function here as I thought anymore. You bless them and you leave. Then you can come to Power City. Then with thou shalt continue from where thou started, stopped. That's the way it works. If he refused to go serve, even in the Power City too, he will be your problem. If you will not obey an authority, he won't obey the authority. Even if Papa say one, he will have his own explanation. So in the name of growth, when people come, know how to receive them. And know how to set scriptural boundaries and standard from day one. We want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow. You collect fish and collect crayfish. No, fishers of men, not crayfish of men. Fishers of men. Fish. Don't carry periwinkle and join. It is fishers of men. Fishers of men. Are there no periwinkles inside ocean? Jesus said, fish only fish. Leave the rest. It's fish I want you to fish, not periwinkle, not crab. Fish. If you see a crab, you will know. Some of them, in their appearance, they will show you the sign that I'm about to bring problem, tsunami to this campus. They will be your problem. So the cleanup starts from as you begin to get God servo here. We suspend. Oh, he will know he's coming to a house that is organized and apostolic. Are you listening? It's not new because of God. That's how you polish, prepare men to be able ministers and to be disciplined. People you'll be proud of. Whoever raised Papa, are you not proud of him today? The only thing the world accuses Papa on is heresy. It's twisting the Bible. Let it twist it like that for us. No problem. But outside of that, there is nothing else, because the hands that raise him handled him well. The one who do you, you know what? Now, it will show tomorrow. It will show. Not be this light, we are watching. It will show tomorrow. It will show. It will show. Is it not somebody that went and purchased for himself a father and that papa is no more his father? What did he say? He said, I'm there now. Yeah, yeah. The day they will arrive, they won't know why their discipleship will be very aggressive. Say, Dr. Paul, they don't sit like that. Sit well. Don't cross your leg. Sit well. Your notebook is not a good one. Go and buy another one. Amen. This Bible is not permitted in Bible school. He would say, what have I done to this boy? What has he heard? I heard something. Amen. I will punish him with the punishment by which he was punished. Amen. Amen. Then he will fast and pray to be delivered. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. They will come one after the other. You know, they are coming out of their closets already. They will come. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Is it not the gospel? Wait now. It's a matter of time. So the call, so the church, the application here is that the church has a standard, has a dogma, has an ethic. New Testament. I said that for effect because we are building men for ministry with the call of God. There are things you will just see hit you as a man in ministry. And you may not know, what do I do? What do I do? That's why this Bible school helps to give you application on how to handle the issues of calling. You are dealing with men who are called. That is how they should be handled. That's how they should be handled. I'm having an issue with this. Yes. And I see the second party. Let me hear. Don't hear from one source and agree. Sit, hear from the second source. Then by the Spirit and by the Scripture, you will cancel. Are you listening to me at all? Don't be that hear from one side and no, you hear and you respond. Praise God. It helps the church. Glory to God. A spiritual house. So that is what the church is, ecclesia. Amen. So Jesus said, I will build what? My church. And the gate of hell shall not prevail. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. So the church is born from the place of the dead. The blood church is born from the dead. The church is born from the dead. The church rose out of hell. Abraham and Isaac's story is a message of the church. The resurrection of Jesus. Him that is as dead, Abraham. Even also Sarah's womb that is as what? Dead. But out of that dead womb came what? An Isaac resurrection. So out of death came life. Jesus in hell. For thou will not leave my soul in hell, Psalm 16, from verse 9, 10, 11. Will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy holy one to see corruption. So he rose from the dead. Now, in his resurrection from the dead, bam, the church was born. If there was no resurrection, there would be no church. So the church is the byproduct of his resurrection. That's why it doesn't matter what you do in this life. You can never kill, shut down, terminate, end the church. Go and ask emperors and kings how well they have tried. The church is still here. It's not man-made. It's a divine orchestration of the Father. You see somebody attacking the church, they are pleading. If there's anywhere church will die, is where there is persecution. Northern Nigeria, Arabian Peninsula. The church gets stronger. What fuels the church is persecution. The more you persecute the church, the stronger she becomes. The stronger she becomes. Glory to God. John chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. John chapter 2, verse 19. Let's take that. John chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Are you there now? Praise God. That's how my papa too, when he's feeling heat, he removes his own. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to carry heat, going to suffer when there is fire here. Praise God. Second John, sorry, John. I say second John. John 2, 19 to 20. Can you imagine if I didn't pull my sword now, I would not be quoting the book of Zobodiah, the book of this. I just removed the suit now. I'm saying second John. When it's supposed to be John chapter 19, verse 22. Heat is not good sometimes. Amen. Yes, John 2, 19 to 22. Are you there now?
One, two, go, everybody. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Next verse. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? Next verse. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead. Wait, the Bible talked about the temple of his body, and he told us how the temple was built. How? By his resurrection from the dead. So the next statement, how he went there, he was risen from the dead. The next statement, all right? His disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. So you can see to establish again, the church was born of the resurrection. So don't play with the church. You know why Jesus is collecting his church back? He died for the church, purchased the church with his own blood, is taking back his church. You're not the owner of the church. The owner of the church is taking it back. He had been looking for a man. He just found one, Dr. Abel Damina, who was willing. I sought for a man. Do you know how many people God had worked on and they refused because of mammon? They refused because of mammon. And he approached this one, Dr. Abel Damina. He approached him and he said, here am I, send me. But this will be the manner, like Paul, of what you will face. Said, Papa knew these things were coming. But he made up his mind because of love and sincerity and sincerity and persuasion. He made up his mind. You can't preach this message until you are consecrated. Only a consecrated man can preach this message. You cannot. There are those that you thought that will stand and preach this message mightily, but they lack consecration. You know, consecration has a lot to do with how you decide by yourself that if I must go and obey God, there are company I must not keep. There are circles of ministers that can't be my friend because they will draw you in and you can't stand. And you know, your mouth will start shaking. You can't preach it. They will soil you. They will mess you up and smear you. You can't preach it. It's a choice. And you will suffer for that choice. Consecration will bring to you persecution. Will bring to you suffering. Will bring to you mockery. It's a path that you will tread. You will see it like this. Then you will make up your mind whether I am to go that route or I am to say, God, wait first. Not now. Consecration. Praise God. So praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. First, the church refers to those who were called from the dead. Is that not what we said? It refers to those who were called from the dead. Hence, first, the church refers to those who were called from the dead. Hence, Jesus is referred to as the firstborn from the dead. The first man to rise and come alive out of spiritual death is Christ. Out of Lazarus, he came out of the dead. Why is his resurrection from the dead different from that of Jesus? Jesus' own is covered in prophecy, and Jesus' own by prophecy is a sacrifice for sin. He bore sin and died and went to hell. Lazarus' own, he was raised from the dead by the Christ who is to go and die the dead
that will cover even for his own death. Because some people will tell you that, why is it? People were reasoning for the dead by Jesus, and also people that before then, even Elijah rose from the dead. He rose from the dead means he rose not from just physical death, from spiritual death. He was a sacrifice. They were not sacrifices. They were not made sin. He was made sin. His mission was to die and to save his people from their sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he is the firstborn. The firstborn, the prototokos. Amen. The firstborn, the prototokos. The prototype. The way he is the way others will be. Firstborn from the dead. I think we have handled, Papa has handled for the issue of firstborn. Is that correct? Where are all the firstborn here? Everybody's firstborn. Amen. No gender. So you can call a sister firstborn. Amen. No gender. Even in the natural, are there not ladies here who are, you are the firstborn of the family? It's in order. Praise God. Firstborn. Praise God. I saw praise God. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. In that local church, look at the setting. Jesus, the head of the church. Then Jesus appoints authorities in the local church, right? Those authorities are part of God's plan and order in the local church. Is that correct? So that means an authority is the local church, which is an orchestration of the Father, set up by Christ as the head. Anything I do to the authorities, who do I do it to? I do it to Christ. For whatever you do for the least of my brethren, who am I doing it to? To Christ. Is that correct? Therefore, in the church, we're talking about the call of God now. In the church, your response to the authorities, supernatural relationships set over you, is a clear indication of how much you honor Christ, who is the head. Your response to the authorities set by God in the local church is an indication of your honor to Christ, who is the head. Some of us here are campus coordinators, right? Some of us leading to us are campus coordinators. And most of you here are campus coordinators in the making. Some of you are house churches. You are sectional leaders in your different campuses. Some of you are ministry people who came to be part of this Bible school. All right? Praise God. So we are talking to people who should understand leadership and the call of God. Praise God. Now, I said this to establish this fact. In your campus, is it Papa that is physically there preaching, manning situation, doing counseling, leading prayer? How many is Papa? He will lead in Ghana, he has become the Holy Spirit, omnipresent. So that campus coordinator or that leader set over you in the campus, your attitude towards him or her is a clear indication of how much you honor the authority that is on Dr. Abel Damina and that is on Christ. Let's bring it home. Because sometimes we get used to revelation knowledge, we don't know the application. And it's in the application a lot of people miss it. It's in the application. Somebody once said to me during discipleship program we had to do, he said, Papa is my discipler. I laughed, I almost fell on the ground. I said, Papa took discipleship manual, sat you down, told you opening prayer, let's pray in tongues for 30 minutes. Then after that, Papa said, open to introduction. I said, where are you and Papa, where are you now, in which week are you? He said, no, not like that, not like that, not like that. I said, how is it? You know why? Because he wouldn't want his house pastor or somebody to disciple him. But an instruction has come from the top, discipleship. He feels by being around for long, he knows it. He can't humble himself. He's too big for that. I said to him, the frustration of ministry that is coming towards you, you see doing press up, is here to wear canvas. I say, you will wait for 10 years. Dr. Ebe Damina will not come, our papa, to come and disciple you. Already, he's right with you there to disciple you in that person. But you are telling Dr. Ebe Damina, no. You are telling Christ, no. You'll be there for a long time. That is the application. That's exactly is the application. So when the authorities that are set over you, your attitude towards them is that of honor, not looking just at them, but at him who has appointed them. And also at him who has appointed him that has appointed them to oversee you, who is Christ. That's how you deal with the church. That's how you respond to the church. Because it's a subject of the call of God. If you miss these details, you will have a dysfunctional campus, a dysfunctional life, a dysfunctional ministry. You can't tell why things are not in order. There will be anarchy because you yourself, you're a man of anarchy. And there are those that they have known so much, nobody has anything to tell them. They have known so much. To a point, even when Papa is preaching and is quoting Luke 24:25, I know it already. They would just leave Luke 24:25 and be waiting. Papa should quote the next scripture. That's how it starts. Is Christ asking you to look at it again? Luke 24:25. The moment he quotes it, open it as if you have not seen it before. You can be so familiar with scripture that you forget that you don't know the scriptures. Because he's about to say something in Luke 24:25 that you have not heard before. But because you are not paying attention, it jumps over you and you didn't get it. And in it is the utterance that would have fixed something for you you are battling with. And it came in Luke 24:25. And God was about to open Papa's mouth to make an utterance at that. But you were not paying attention. I know it already. I know it already. As I'm talking, I know I have customers in this place. Who, that is your attitude. Because when a scripture is quoted often, you are tempted to become familiar. Stop that today. If he said Luke 24:25, write it quickly and open there. As he's explaining, put your pen. He's about to explain. If he explains the same thing, write the same thing. If he gives a slant and adds something he didn't say before, write that one. Why do I need that reputation? Makes you know and have a better explanation. Improve understanding of what you used to know. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, Rabbi, I know it already now. For me, child, that was done on this kitchen. Before Papa arrived, you have arrived. Papa should move to other things. He has never cooked. I've been in this church, the book of Nahum. Nahum. Why is not questioning Nahum? Because we have not known who be Nahum. By the time we know who be you, we'll quote Nahum. The scriptures all over the place. We are used to this scripture. You are not used to it. Write it down and pay attention. You know who you are honoring? You are honoring Christ, who has sent him to show you something that will open you up to his plan for you on the earth. So you write and pay attention. He says the same thing. He gives an explanation to write that. Those who pay attention, they get the details eventually. That's why they say pay attention to details. And also the devil is in the details. You know part of what it means? Those banks that give you contract to sign, have you observed banks when they give you paper, the writings are very tiny. Very, very tiny. You need a microscope to see it. That's why tomorrow something goes wrong. When you start saying, they'll say you signed though. They'll now bring you the enlargement version of what you signed. Say, was it there? You are not paying attention. You sign part of what is now implicating you. That's why they make it tiny. So you don't pay attention. But when you pay attention, you will understand. You ask them, what's the meaning of this? You could see the devil. The devil is where the problem, the clause. There's a clause that can work against you. That's the devil. You can see it in the detail. But if you're not paying attention, you won't see it there. So be careful next time how you rush to sign document. Read it very well. If it's too tiny, ask them, why is it very tiny? Why is it tiny? My name, address. I could see that. My phone number, my email, I could see that. But when it comes to this other thing, terms and condition, this thing is very tiny, tiny, tiny. That means you are hiding something. Tell them, can I have a magnified glass or microscope, please? I need to see it. Or can you enlarge this thing for me, please? Because they're about to collect your money. And you will go to court and they will defeat you in the case. That's why banks win cases all the time. Why? They hide the devils in the details. That's where it came from. The devils are always in the details. So when they say, pay attention to details. So when they bring you document, do anagnosko. Do anagnosko. Read it very well. Read it very well. Read it very, before you put your money inside, read it very well. In the clause, it could be said that as you are putting this money, this money is for charity. And you never see it again. Then you just rush and sign because you saw bank. You signed everything you saw. You now put your money. Then they gave it to charity. You say, no. I need an interest. They say, no, read the something. They now do an enlarged copy and bring for you. You now saw the clause. And it shall be given to the charity as at when the bank deems fit. So your money has gone. Then they go to the court. They see that your signature is there. You say, Jesus, you people are wicked. They'll say, no, we're not wicked. We're only smart. Pay attention to details. When Papa teaches, pay attention to details. Praise God. Are you still there? That's the practical of the local church. So let me establish this even as we move forward. Is that in the local church, God brings you into supernatural relationship, ecclesiology. Another word for ecclesiology, the local assembly, is supernatural relationship. Supernatural. There are people that have come to know because of the church. And the relationship is eternal. Because after here, in the immaterial, we'll still be together. Relationship. Supernatural relationship. And I need to honor those relationships. And in relationship, there are moments of misunderstandings. Disagreement is human, is part of it. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Amen. I say amen. Praise God. There are people that God has set as authorities. When Pastor Matthew said something as the global coordinator, he's talking, I pay attention. Because I want to know the order of instructions that through him, by Papa, is to come to us, as global coordinators. That I don't need to ask him because we are close. I need to just pay attention in the meeting that he's telling everybody. It's not that he's talking this. I know Pastor Matthew. You know, it's my, I would just call him and ask him, those things you say, can you just give me a soft copy of it? Who you be? You are not honoring because you are tinkering and you are trifling. You are playing with the supernatural relationship. It is dishonor. As he's talking to everybody, you are also listening. You take note. Right there, you ask questions because it will also give clarity to others who may be thinking in your line of thought. Simple. Do you understand that? Simple. There are things I can't argue with him about. No. Sir, is that what you said, sir? Okay. Can I have explanation on this? Because the last time you said it, when we have the opportunity to talk like that, I say, yes, this. Oh, that's wonderful. I get to work. Is the global coordinator. He's a global coordinator. I won't even ask Papa. No, because it's by Papa. He's saying it. Is it not so? He's saying it. He's saying it, but that I'll just take note of it and I get to work. Then I can quote him tomorrow. That is what he said. As a coordinator that we should do. Then I stand to be corrected. Because I'm honoring the supernatural relationship set over me as the global coordinator. Are you listening to me at all? It's super. So honor such things. Listen to me. Your greatest trap and undoing is to think that at a point in your life, you are invincible because you know authority. It's a trap. Yeah, it's a trap. You know why it's a trap? There are other authorities in the local church. Let us use a campus for an instance. A campus, there is a national coordinator. Then there are those who coordinate the different regions in your campus. And by reason of providence and the work of the Spirit, you are privileged to be close to the national coordinator. But before you knew the national coordinator, you were friends and you were in relationship with somebody who helped you, and God helps you to ascend in exploit to where you are. Now that I know the national coordinator of my country, then my attitude towards those who were part of my rising begins to change in disdain. Hey, you're on your way to the grave. Your way to the grave. My closeness to Papa, my closeness to Pastor Praise, my closeness to Apostle Prince, my closeness to Pastor Matthew, I watch it carefully. Those that were with me on my way up, those I have related with, I still make sure I'm in talking terms with them. I honor them. They are not less. They are not less. Because your exploit could get into your head and you think you are something. No. No. Authorities were around your life on your way up. Don't forget where you came from. Honor them. Honor them. That is the way up. Honor them. Honor them. As long as you're a coordinator from anywhere, you are Papa's son. Honor. Oh, God bless you. Celebrate you. How are you doing today? Oh, good afternoon, sir. We'll talk and everything. In my mind, that's an authority in a local church. It's not different from me. Wherever you find yourself standing is a privilege by providence. Be careful. The call of God. The call of God. And that's how it works. It is by that order that people go up and up and up and up. Authorities of the local church. So the things that happens were for us an example. What did Jesus send his disciples to go and preach? Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. Jesus committed something to the disciples who became an authority. What was that? To preach what? The gospel. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. As I take time to close. Matthew chapter 10 verse 1. Are you there now? Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew, I want you to watch these men. They are authorities. See how they function in the book of Acts. They are authorities. They are authorities. Look at me before reading Matthew chapter 10. Lift your head and look at me. One of the greatest things you will ever do in your life is to place value and respect spiritual authorities around your life. At all time. At all time. At all time. Authorities. Reverend Philemon, I don't play with him. Pastor Matthew, I don't play with them. Campus coordinators around the world, don't play with them. They are authorities. In the local house, I don't play with Pastor Praise. He's the resident pastor of Power City HQ. I don't play with him. Never. Authorities. Always know those that are above you. Always know those that are above you. That is the application. It will help to foster growth. It will help you raise the people with the kind of right mindset. It will help the gospel to thrive. You honor men that God is using in the local church around your life. Even those who were part of helping you, you honor them. You honor them. You came with a friend to Power City campus, and the friend has grown. Before you know, he has started the campus, he's a campus coordinator. Or you're a campus coordinator. And he's the one that brought you to Power City by invitation. But by the act of God's grace, you are so grown, and there's an expression of ministry and attention you give to ministry. You have become a campus coordinator. Don't forget him and treat him as if he does not exist. Because he is part of the supernatural relationship that brought you into this family. Now you are a coordinator. He's nobody in your mind. You have ascended. You are a main user. And you are ungrateful. Honor men. Honor them. Some of your friends may not be in the Christocentric message, but keep the bridge open, because you are the bridge that connects them to this message. They say some things about Papa, but you know they are your friends. You can't let them go. You pray over the matter. You rebuke, you talk, and you look at the Bible, but refuse to let them go. Tomorrow, when the chips are down, they will tell you, hey, do you misunderstanding of the gods? Is there one that you say, Papa, preach? Yes, season one. I need season one. When they start asking for Papa's message, something is happening. But why would they be able to ask you? You kept the relationship. The bridge, you didn't break it. you kept it open. When I look at you and I find out that your friendship have all disappeared, and every season you form new friends and you lose old ones, you are a suspect. You break bridges easily, you are a suspect. You are somebody I should be careful with, because very soon too, I'll be part of the relic of your past. That means you use people and dump them and move ahead. You are a suspect. It's not a good for a man that is called of God. That means in ministry, those who participate, those who give, those who show and make things work, they are the ones you value. They no more have the abilities to function, to impress and support the world. You dump them for new ones. There are pastors with such attitude. That you are only relevant when you have something to offer. Sometimes watch your relationship with people. Why are they around your life? They send you message, they use you. Any outside of that, ask yourself, what value is he bringing to my life? Look beyond material gains and say, what impact? How is it advancing, edifying, propelling me into more things? I have done things that were wrong. How has he called me for correction and rebuked me? He who rebukes is the one that loves you. But he treats me as if I didn't do anything wrong. Hey, for your life. It's not a good association. I could die by that thing and he's not seeing it. Probably. He's avoiding to offend me. No, now. Don't be like that. There is how you function. We know how you are going to run the house of God. Because of the way we see it is the way it is. And that's one thing I like with Papa. Old friends. You saw the wedding. Old friends who are not in this message. Friends dated back as 30, 40 years. All of them came. The one that couldn't come called and fought him. He said, sorry. He was just apologizing throughout the week and 2 weeks after. Up to tomorrow, he's still apologizing. Old friends who are into Moses. In fact, they are Moses' twin brother. After Moses died, they continue. They continue. They are still with him. They are there. How does he keep them? Patience, long suffering. He suffers long with them. Even those who have spoken against him on social media and betray his trust. I see the way he relates with them. Because he knows that this thing will catch up with them. He wants to keep the bridge open. When you learn doctrine, a major part of doctrine is the manner of life. I don't know whether you are paying attention. Ministry. Don't be people's user. People are only important to you when you have material things to gain. When you have nothing to gain, they are not important. It tells us the kind of leadership, people you will raise, and ministry you will run, eventually. And when you will be doing that, you will not know. You will not know. Praise God. As a praise God, ministry, gifts, and calling. Have we talked about giftings yet? No, we are on calling. Because it's the calling that makes the gift appreciated. It's the calling, your response, your courage, your disposition to the calling. Is it not somebody that is there selling soap and selling hook and selling perfume and selling light and selling, in fact, very soon sell cement, iron rod, and sell everything. Sell flour. That is his disposition to the call. And people are beginning to resist what he called the gift as a prophet. It's now a child's play. That means your disposition towards the call can discolor the gift of God in your life. With your gift, we don't need it. People resist it. Ministry, people can resist your ministry. I don't want it.
because of your disposition. Because of your disposition. Because of your disposition. It's all in the package. So in that supernatural relationship, you honor it. You honor it. People honor you because they see what God is doing in your life. What do? I told you what our robot mom said to our robot. Papa was quoting it the other day. He said, "Oral." He said, "Yes, mom." He said, "Look small in your own eyes, and there will be no limit to which God will lift you. Look small in your own eyes. Anything God is doing in your life amongst people, and God singles you out there is exploit. Don't let it get to your head. Remember the people you are with and celebrate them. You urge them on. Let them know that you are still at the same level. Let me tell you something about the principle of the world. Why people go to buy for themselves a father is this pressure, peer pressure, and crave and greed and covetousness. You know what they said? When you seem to have done exploit more than a man, he can't be your father anymore. And they have that exploit. Your crowd has increased. You have gained some relevance and fame. You look for a father that is higher than you in such exploit and go to him to submit to him as father. So you change father. You don't know. That's the reason for the madness. So a man can have a spiritual father, 5, 6 spiritual father he has changed in 2 years. Then those fathers now, you are setting war amongst them because my son left me to you. You didn't send him back to me. You received him. And there's a fight, but they are beating themselves. Oh. You took my son. A fight over son. When the boy came, you should have told him, I know your spiritual father is so and so. You would have told him to get back his spiritual father. But because he brought a mighty offering, bigger than Isaac, you collected it. And say, my son, from that day you become the father. Then he appears in your convention and you give him a sloth. Once they give you a microphone to say something in their conversion, they have authenticated sonship over you. And the guy was, I want to thank God for my father. Wherever he's hearing from around the world, fatherhood has changed. To this one now, you are no more my father. That's the madness in the system. But when you are well taught, your father is your father. He may be riding a bicycle and you are in the university. He's your father. You can't change father. Timothy never changed Paul. Neither Philemon or Titus. They never changed Paul. Paul was still their father till the end. God doesn't give to people fathers. He gives to them a father. For me, my father is Dr. Abel Damina. I stay with his message. I eat his message, drink his message, follow the doctrinal persuasion, and I align myself to his manner of life. Ministry. We are talking to people who are called, who are going to respond to the call of God, who are going to raise people. You need to have the right disposition. In supernatural relationship, there will be misunderstanding. People will hurt you. But don't break the bridge, because love also endures all things. It takes endurance and pain to raise people. It takes endurance and pain to raise complicated people. Praise God. I said, praise God. Supernatural. So that supernatural relationship, after born again, God takes the solitary. Where does he put them? In family, because he knows that that is what you need. That he takes them and put them in a spiritual house. That's where you will be corrected. That's where you'll be made better. That's where you'll be polished. That's where you'll be loved. That's where there'll be a lot of contradictions. You will solve it and stay together. That is where everything you need to know. A case in point, when somebody comes and he said to you, say, I'm here in Power City. I want to be what God asked me to come here and to come and serve. Same. Don't just say, come and sit down. Because when people come, they come with garbages and mindset.
I've been listening to Papa for the past 10 years. That is a red flag. 10 years and you have not been in a campus and you're just coming today. What has he been doing? What were you doing for 10 years? I listen. That means he may be listening haphazardly. So don't allow the years mess him. Don't say, he has been listening to Papa before I came also. I need to, you now want to honor him. Honor with him. Honor with him. Just be very professional and don't let that mesmerize yourself. Tell him you're welcome. Please just sit down. So I'm not going to be following Papa for 10 years. Okay, that 10 years, what have you been doing? I was off and on. Off and on. It's off and on. You want to? So he's telling you that as I'm here now, I'll be off and on. So if you don't want him to off and on, make sure he's on and stay permanently on. So the journey has started. Off and on. What have you been doing? This is what I've been doing. Fine. What ministries have you been before you encountered Papa? Get his history so that you can help him. Get his history. I was with one ministry where we used to do Father and Die. After that, I entered another one where we used to kill and use angels to fight people. Then another one, just find out he has problem with angeloteskia. He has a problem with using weapon like Peter to kill people. You find, make sure if he comes to the campus, weapon must not be around him. Even the chairs around him should be rubber chairs, not iron chairs. You find things around his life. You ask him questions. Ask, even concerning marital questions, you ask him. Yeah, people have come to places where they disappear from a far place and they come and they want to engage a sister in a new place and marry. A relationship has gone far. Only to find out that they have two children and a wife somewhere. This is the church. We are not stupid. We are not stupid now. Ask question. Ask question. Have these details. Ask him questions so you can help him. He came probably as a broken vessel to be put together, helped together. You ask questions so that you can instruct, you can advise, you can counsel. Pastoring has started. You ask. Then you see those are incidents that he has been unstable in places and is now coming to Power City. So the way you are going to disciple him and mark him bomber to bomber, you are seeing an erratic and unstable personality. So now you have a work of more attention on this person because God has sent him to you to raise him as a man, an able minister. So you are on him. No, not that one, not that one, not that. This. He does it, that's right, this. You know why? I said, but Pastor, why are you? You are very... I said, because where you are going, the journey is far. So we are preparing you for the journey. At the end of the day, we thank you for it. It's leadership. It's the call of God. It's the way it is done. Praise God. You saw the way Jesus was on Peter. He knew what was before Peter is big. So Peter was the arrow point of Jesus' ministry. Rebuke, correction, spoke of him well, put him over against others. After his resurrection, he went for Peter. So Peter's own bomber to bomber was more than everybody's own. At the end of the day, who stayed the church? It was Peter. So when you sense somebody with potential leadership ability that will rise in a campus, you can see that he will rise more and others will rise later. And you know he's going to be an influential person and you are raising generals and armies. What do? You stir him up and provoke him to that effect. Praise God. Do you understand that? Give it to him, Woto. He will know leadership is by example, is accountability, and he will stretch out and he will be an influence. Glory to God. And I declare that ministry establishes and prospers everywhere in your hands. You do well exceedingly, do well abundantly. Establish the grace of God everywhere. And we declare that relationship prospers in your hand. We speak now that your hearts are healed now. Broken hearts are healed now. Everything that's militating against the peace of God, your ability to express the gift of God in your life, whatever has happened and transpired in the yesteryears, we declare right now that by the mercy of God and by the peace that passeth all understanding, you receive restoration now. Receive restoration now. Supernatural ability finds expression. As your ministry with ease, there's an expression of the gift of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Wounds are healed right now. Wounds are healed right now. Wounds are healed right now.
Every area Satan is resisting you and standing against you in your mind to depress, to attack, to belittle you and comfort the past, we declare that by the blood you have overcome. And you stand in that place of victory and we speak that you break forth now. You break forth now. You begin to do things you have not done before. You do exploits you have not done before. You will lead with you out to where you ought to be in the plan of God. In the name of Jesus, receive grace for impact. 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 Healing in your bones right now. I healed. We rebuke every spirit of the heaviness. Get your hands off that life. Get your hands off that life. This destroys. Look, this mantle. Jesus, praying the Holy Ghost.